When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
As promised, this is the second installment of our How to Thread Your Machine Wrong that we'd split sewing machine and serger.
And it's a good thing.
Into one episode. But we thought we could put it, like, you know, in the same episode. Now we have to split it. I thought that was funny.
We talked about threading a machine wrong for a really long time. Your regular straight sewing machine.
I also said to Mom right before I pushed record, this one won't take as long. So we'll see.
For this one. So we'll see. If we get off on a tangent, it might take as long.
Well, I do have a little tangent. I listened to a podcast called Happier with Gretchen Rubin. I know I'm not alone in this because it's very popular. And she's an author who, like, writes and researches about happiness, uh-huh. You know, and one of her tips was, like, wear real clothes. And I guess I just always pictured her, Gretchen, and her sister looking very, like, put together as they record their podcast.
You mean not like us right now?
You know? But apparently, nope. She looks she looks just like us. She's probably not. Man, still covered in breast milk over here. 90% of the time, but her kids are, like, college age.
I have some real clothes on and some not real clothes on, and
And they were talking about, like, defining what real clothes were right. For them, you know, and everything.
That's true.
You know, how everybody just needed to, but this was their challenge, like, wear real clothes for a month, and then Gretchen says, I'm gonna try and, like, put on a little makeup too. She's uh-huh. and her sister's a writer in LA, and she says she wears sweats to the office.
Really?
Yeah. A lot to write in.
Right.
She's got, like, a treadmill desk. And, you know, she's just trying to, like, be creative all the time, I guess. And she said, but one time someone showed up for a meeting on the wrong day.
And she was in her sweats.
And she was wearing sweats and she regretted it, you know. Yeah. She was like, I kind of didn't want to be in sweats around this director,
you know.
And I don't get many surprise visits, but.
Or directors.
Not yet. But I did think it was sort of funny that they were talking about wearing real clothes. And I was thinking that it'd be really nice to take a picture of ourselves recording right now.
No,
it would not be nice. We both kind of look
like crap. We're both dressed for radio.
Yes. And sometimes even the most prolific, well-educated writers and podcasters apparently aren't dressed to the nines while they record their podcast.
Imagine.
Either. Yeah.
No, they're putting their energy into what they're doing.
That's right. And she's a very smart lady. Derek kind of tried to, like, make fun of my happiness podcast when he came in and heard me listening to it. And I said, this woman went to Harvard and clerked for Sandra Day O'Connor.
Uh-huh.
She is smarter than you, is what I said to him.
And probably happier.
Yes, exactly. I said, she's smarter than you. You stop laughing, you know. Anyway, okay, moving on. How do you... aren't you unhappy when you thread your serger wrong, Mom?
Yes, I am unhappy when I thread my serger wrong.
Okay.
I like to do things the correct functional way, yes.
Okay, so newsflash, ZD and I sew on Baby Lock sergers that are self-threading and self-tensioning.
And just so you all know, I've sewn on all kinds of sergers, so I'm not... When I talk about Baby Lock and how much I like them and how they improve my life, it's not because it's the only thing I've ever sewn on or was successful on.
Nope.
I was successful on other sergers, and I've sewn on everything from, you know, truly a piece of garbage, like one that was taken out of a dumpster and we fixed it up, to, the commercial ones in
like alterations, shops.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but boy, were they happy when I would bring my Baby Lock in and everybody got to work on that. Yeah, nobody touched that commercial.
ZD has a ton of experience on lots of different sergers. I am spoiled. Mostly, I have gotten to sew on these sergers that are very easy to thread, easy to use. But But then I've had some limited experience on the other type of serger.
Right.
That's not self-threading.
Well, you used to have to teach them and...
Yep, I did. And boy, would it rev me up for the next sale.
After we would have to listen to her.
Teach. Yes, 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 they would. And, you know, we had people come to our workshop sometimes with another brand, and I can make them successful.
Right. We would make them successful.
Just not quite as fast.
And then they would come back a couple weeks later and
buy a baby lock
because they saw what everybody else had. Right.
Very special. Okay. How can you thread your serger wrong? Let's start off where we started off last time. Go for it.
Well, thread path is very important. That thread has to be easily come off the spool, right? And go through all of the guides and all of the tension areas and to the thread, right?
Well, that's not where we started off last time. We started off last time, thread with your foot up.
Oh, thread with your presser foot up. Yep.
But...
Goes without saying.
Yes, yes. With the serger, and we'll come back to that thread path because I know who you're talking about here, or there was at least one example. On a serger, threading with your foot up, just like a sewing machine, will open those tension discs a lot of the time. But on some sergers, if you do have tension discs that have like knobs on them, right?
Right.
Some sergers tell you to put those all down to zero to thread.
Yes, they do.
Raise the presser foot.
When you're starting from, they want you to start from zero.
Yes.
Yes, they do. And in that case, you're not usually tying on. But if you are, if everybody knows what tying on is, it means you don't unthread the machine, but you clip the thread close to the spool, tie your new thread on that you want to use that go through. They don't all tell you to dial down to zero, but I have to tell you, if you don't, you might lose that knot.
Right. So that opens those tension discs. When you, we referenced Sherry's story where I said, you know, thread with the foot, make sure to thread with the foot up. Sometimes a serger can make it look like the foot's down. Opening those tension discs to get the thread in there is so important. If you start stitching and your threads are all loose or whatever, you know, you didn't thread with your foot up. Okay. So get those threads in the tension discs, floss through there. Now, on a baby lock, the thread path is as simple as it can get for a serger. You click into that pre-tensioner, right, Mom?
That's right. It's called tubular threading. It has a tubular loopers.
But you got to click into that first thing, that pre-tensioner.
Oh, the pre-tensioner. Oh, I see what you're talking about.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. So the thread comes off the spool, goes up into the telescoping thread guide, and then click each time.
Right.
And then you go into...
And when I do that, I have my hands on both sides of that disc and holding that thread like I'm going to floss my teeth. Same sort of thing.
Floss the machine. Okay, and then you put your thread in a little hole and you push a button and your looper's threaded.
Right.
Okay.
After you've set it for threading.
That's right.
There is a threading setting.
Yeah, where it's in the right position.
It engages the loopers.
Sergers that aren't like this, okay, there's a thread path.
And a thread order.
Right.
So you can't just thread any, and if you want to just change one thread, you can't take your thread off and replace it with another thread. That's why people will practice the tie-on method. Right.
Okay, so you have to thread in the right order. This is in your owner's manual, and it will often be, won't it be upper looper, lower looper, and then
needles.
Mm-hmm. And it'll tell you which needle.
It'll tell you left. I think it's left and then right, I believe.
I believe it is as well.
Yes. Now, also on your machine, especially the modern machines, the thread path will be there usually in a color.
Right.
So, you know, if it's your upper looper, its disc will be green, its path will be green, you know, there'll be a green dot on the looper, there'll be a green dot on up, you know, where the needle is. So they're labeled very, very well usually. You know, it's very easy to see what the path is going to be.
Yeah, if you have something newer... That will be the case. Now, I remember that someone posted, they were like, oh, I got this machine and like on the front of the box or, you know, I got it used or hand me down. It was like color-coded thread path. So apparently that was revolutionary at one point, right?
You know, somebody didn't think of it at first. But, you know, here you go, guys. Men designed these. I'm sorry.
Mom.
I'm sorry. But, you know, they weren't sitting and sewing at home. Men who were in industry designed these. And they didn't have to code the thread paths in industry.
Somebody's job.
Okay. If you don't think men have designed too many things, go someplace and see how long the bathroom line is in the women's versus the men. somebody's designing stuff wrong. If a woman would design that public building, do you think she would let the woman's line be too long and the men's line be short?
Okay, I was watching Mad Men right now. I think it's due to undergarments.
But you can't say that, because if you're a woman, you take that into an account,
right?
And you go, there needs to be more potties for the women.
Oh, you think because
it takes them long.
You think
because they have the same. I have taken non-scientific polls.
Okay,
Jerry,
how many pots?
What's in there? How many heads and how many urinals are in there, and how many sinks? No, I ask.
Uh huh.
Okay, and oftentimes it is proportional, and it is not correct. Men do not have to drop their trowel, okay?
Right.
Most women do. Right. I mean, I do, unless they use your trick of your crotch over cross thing.
Pee-pee hack.
Yeah, pee-pee hack. But no, men sometimes, there's not enough women designing. There's not enough women architects. Get out there,
okay, well,
women.
I got to agree. Okay, obviously with that. But I don't like it. I used to know somebody who said, oh, well, they designed this because women like to move their hands like this. And I'm like, wait, who? What?
What?
Like, they designed this button in this position because women this. And I'm like, when I hear something like that, I kind of balk at it because I'm like, I don't know. I don't think those stereotypes often serve.
Did they have
a
focus group on that or not?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So
no, but what I'm saying is women.
Yeah, but did a woman design the colored thread path?
I bet. I bet she recommended it to a man. Yeah. What do you want to bet?
We'll see.
Okay,
all
no.
Right, I'm
convinced a woman recommended it to a man.
Yeah, that's probably just about as... we don't know that.
No, but more than likely, that is what happened.
All right, well, mom...
Because men are colorblind.
Mom's doing the gendered stereotypes, and I'm not, so you can direct all complaints to her. Okay.
No, right. Direct them to Mallory. She likes problems.
Moving on. I didn't do it. Okay, moving on. So when you have the non-baby lock, like non-self-threading sergers, okay, that looper threading system is completely open, like
correct.
Mom said, and there's a threading order. So when you do thread that properly, you'll see, when I thread in the proper order, certain threads cross over one another.
Right. It's the crocheting system.
Yes, at certain points. And so that's why the order is so important in that case. As Mom referenced earlier, she got a little overexcited about the tubular looper system when I was trying to talk about the pre-tensioner. Yeah. I know. Mom, it's so exciting.
I know.
Yes. So the tubular looper system on the baby locks means the loopers are all enclosed. And you don't have to thread in a particular order. You should also not tie on with a baby lock auto-threader machine.
And there's absolutely no reason to.
And there's no reason to. You should clip, sew out the thread,
right?
Set it for threading, rethread it. Boom. Like, that's it. There's no reason to tie on. It is not easier. And that knot can get caught somewhere.
Right.
So don't do that.
Knot can get caught in any machine. That's why it's even, a risk with, a machine with an open looper system.
It is. And it can break. And then it's not in the
right
twisty.
And then you still have to start
over.
And
then you have to start all the way over.
That's
so
right.
That's not fun. So keep that in mind when you are threading. I had somebody do that on an Enlighten. They were like, oh, well, my friend ties on. She says it's so much easier. I'm like, well,
Your friend doesn't know what she's talking about. Oh, excuse me. What did I say? Oh, my.
Your friend doesn't have the serger that threads itself. So that's why you
Well, you also need to listen to what your dealer says if they know your machine.
That's right.
Yes.
So the advantage to that being on the baby locks, if I just want to change my upper looper, I can
change any thread anytime that I want to within the pattern. It can be any needle thread, any looper thread, and I can put any kind of thread in there that, will basically thread through.
So
I don't have to readjust my tension.
That's right.
If I put a different type thread in.
Now, so if you...
That's on the baby lock self-threaders.
That self-threaders, self-auto tension, because the... Eclipse
It's called thread delivery system.
Thread delivery. The Eclipse doesn't have thread delivery, but it does have auto threading.
Yes, okay. It does.
So when you, if you have a different type of serger, you need to thread in the right order. If you don't thread in the right order, it won't make a stitch, guys.
Nope.
And there are different settings for different stitches.
she's saying different tension settings for different stitches. So your upper looper is tighter or looser on some stitches.
Uh-huh.
Your bottom looper is tighter or looser on some. They're not always what we call balanced exactly in the sense of they're the same number or have the same tension on them.
That's right.
They're balanced according to what kind of stitch you're looking for.
That's right. So don't be surprised if it's like they're not all the same.
Right. Don't be surprised if you go to do a rolled hem and it's telling you that, you know, your lower tension on your lower looper is so tight or such a bigger number than your top looper.
And if you are going in to do some super special decorative stitching,
right,
you might notice that your serger uses a different tension slot
yes.
than normal.
Or a different, there might be like a different thread path. It might,
that's yeah.
It
yeah.
might go over and be hooked in a different place or something.
I really do like to look at some of the more, we did an obscure serger stitches podcast, and some of them where you like, you go down into the looper, but then you come back up.
Right.
You go over this hook, and then you're in the needle. Like, you're, and I'm like, oh, that's so, you know,
right.
Interesting. So don't always default to that. You know, when you look at a four-thread serger, don't always default to left needles in the first slot, right needles in the second slot, upper looper is in the third, and lower looper's in the fourth. It may not always be like that, and you won't suspect it. Okay, until something doesn't work right. So threading order as well as threading placement is a way you can do things wrong on the serger.
Okay, Mallory, are you ready?
Yeah.
Subsidiary.
Mm-hmm. Subsidiary looper.
Mm-hmm.
How can you use that wrong?
Why is it there?
Well, this is a weird thing.
And people will call this the wrong thing also.
Yes. Subsidiary looper blocks off your upper looper.
Your last upper loop, that last finger that you see come across your needles, it blocks it off.
And that creates a different type of stitch. Think about, I don't know, like if you're knitting and you let like a stitch drop.
You're dropping a stitch.
You're dropping a stitch.
Right.
There you go. I mean, it's not exactly the same thing, but it's close, okay?
I'm trying to think of some of the things I've heard people call these. Like a bypass or something like that.
Well, could it be called something different?
I'm trying to think. I don't know.
Well, I've heard it. You know what I've heard it called that I think is wrong? Is they just call that a stitch finger.
That's not a stitch finger.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A stitch finger is underneath the presser foot of the serger, and it's what the stitches are formed over. Okay.
It's in your throat plate.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Whereas a subsidiary looper, and okay, so.
So the loopers move.
That's right.
They go back and back and forth.
In an elliptical pattern.
Yes, in front of and in back of your needle.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember which one goes in front and which one goes in back.
I thought they both went in front. Is that not right? I don't know that.
Whatever.
Okay.
Whatever.
So those loopers are going, the subsidiary looper can block off that threading area. So if you've clicked that over for one stitch and then you don't need it for the next stitch, you need to click that subsidiary looper back over. I'm saying click. It depends on your machine and how you use it, okay, for the subsidiary looper. And it can get moved on accident occasionally. And the serger is kind of this mess of metal parts in there. And sometimes if to an untrained eye, people won't even see the difference. Like, with it engaged or disengaged. Don't you agree? Like,
yes.
I've had people it in, and especially with the self-threading sergers that use air to, you know, zoom that thread through.
Right.
Of course, if the hole in the looper is blocked off, it won't zoom the thread through. So they'll come in, they'll say, my upper looper won't thread.
Right.
Well, there's a piece of metal in the way, and I click that back, and they're like, I just had no idea that was there.
Because it's used in the more abstract stitches.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Apparently, some people call it a converter, and I'm not sure if that's. I've never heard it called that, like in my realm.
Right.
But I have seen it written and referred to as a looper converter. I don't know what it can. Well, it does it convert to a different stitch.
Yeah, that's what I would. You know, that's what I would guess. Yeah. And Colin,
what it does is it blocks the eye of the upper looper.
Calling loopers needles can happen sometimes.
Yes.
And a looper is sort of a version of a needle, kind of.
Well, like a knitting needle.
Yes. Or, but you really need, you really need to call those loopers.
You really need to call them loopers because they're the thing that makes the loop. They loop on the top of, you know, one is making a loop on top of your fabric and one is making a loop on underneath your fabric. And then your needles are catching those loops.
Right, right.
So I had a customer come in one time, Mal, and she goes, I finally got my serger needles even, and now I can't make a stitch. It won't work, and I finally got them even. What's wrong, Mallory?
Your serger needles should not be even. They are going to be, the left needle is going to be higher, I believe, than the right needle. Yeah, that's right. Are you going to go check?
I was going to say,
does it tell? Here, Mom's going to go check. But either way, the reason that one is higher.
If we have two needles in, I could tell.
Oh, do we not have two needles in? Because you can tell by the top.
The left is higher.
Okay. You shouldn't talk when you're so far away like that. It's going to sound crappy.
The left is higher.
There you go. Hold on. Can I say why?
Sure.
Can I say why? Okay. The left is higher than the right needle. Or on the cover stitch, is it reversed? Do they go up the other way? I think it might be. Because the looper comes in from the other side. Kind of. Well, anyway, your needles need to be in two different positions because your loopers move in a circular motion. So time and space here are working together. And when the looper crosses one needle, it's at a certain height. So it needs to cross the, you know, where the thread is. And then as the looper moves over the needle, the looper's at a different height, and the needle needs to be at a different height. So that's this circular motion here.
The loopers move in an arc.
Right. They move in an arc.
And so it's what is the timing on a sewing machine. This is the timing on your
serger.
And serger.
I think the timing on a serger, if you have one, it's a little more explicit looking. You can see it better. You can see loopers moving, right?
Yes. Yeah. You know, my friend Brian.
Your friend Brian.
My aerialist friend Brian.
Hi, Brian.
I have a professional aerialist
My
friend.
EZT broke his machine, apparently.
Apparently. those suckers, they're rough.
He wrote that post, and I said, why did you even bring my pattern into this story?
He was fixing his machine. You know, it was sort of an orphaned machine that he had gotten. It was and he said his loopers were touching his needles. And can he still use it? Well, sometimes it will still form a stitch when your loopers are touching your needles, but it's a bad idea because they will eventually hit, because all it takes is a little tug on a thread to get that needle to move a little more one way or the other.
Right.
So there were a couple, I didn't discuss it with him too much. I think he can probably, but you know, make sure you've got your needles are straight and not bent.
Yeah.
Make sure they're in correctly. You know, there's a lot of things going on there that make your loopers touch your needles.
I would not feel comfortable timing our serger or replacing like a looper on our serger.
Yeah, well, I've done it.
I believe you. I would feel comfortable with you doing it.
Right. Well, I mean, I've done it and it worked. If I did it and it didn't work, I would have then went to the tech. I just haven't done it that much.
Well, and
I haven't done it that often.
Our sergers have a few more parts to
them. And it wasn't our serger.
Oh, okay.
it was another baby lock that someone had broken off.
Yeah.
Well, and I believe the reason it broke is she was putting a bulk amount of fabric through.
Yeah.
And she said, well, I was just pulling it through. And I thought, you pull the needle out of position and it hit.
Stop pulling stuff through your machine.
If you have to pull it through the machine, you shouldn't be doing it.
No. Okay. So, proper timing goes along with threading the serger. And then let's take a break and talk about cover stitching as well after the break. But I do want to say this doesn't really have to do with threading, but stitch length and width and knife position are all things you need to look at your owner's manual for as well.
Correct.
Okay. So do that on every stitch as well. They may be different, and if you don't change them, you might be sorry, okay? All right, let's take a little break here.
Mallory, tell me all about your dream come true wardrobe planner.
I have been dreaming about creating a wardrobe planner for years.
Oh, no, since you were like 8 and started drawing with crayons.
Yes, I love to sew, and I love to write with paper products and pens and everything. And we have published a wardrobe planner. We have a couple of different options on our website. There is a universal wardrobe planner that you can purchase for $19.99 and print over and over again. It'll help you plan any project you wish. And then we also have themed wardrobe planners. And do you know what's special about those, Mom? What's special?
What?
They include some hand-drawn illustrations by yours truly for whatever we're doing in the self-sewn wardrobe group that month, like PJs or underwear or our month of planning.
Because we theme our months.
Yes, so you can tackle a new wardrobe section each month in order to build your perfect self-sewn wardrobe. So for more information about these, you can go to sewhere.com/planner and also check out the membership options, because the universal wardrobe planner is included with the backstitch and straight stitch and zigzag memberships. So go to sewhere.com/planner.
Sewing out loud.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we're back. All right, cover stitching. We have a combo machine, Mom.
Yes, we do.
And there are things you have to do to switch between cover stitching and serging on our combo machine when you go from
one to the other exclusively.
That's right. Yes. That's right. If you're using them together, there's really not a ton you have to do if you're just using the serger part first. Cover stitching... If you're afraid of a cover stitch machine, don't be. It's actually easier to use than a serger, isn't it?
I guess.
I think it is.
Okay.
It's two needles and one looper versus...
Or three needles and a looper.
Yeah,
right.
But it's needle... There's only one looper.
Right.
Okay. Most of the time when people would come in to learn about these combo machines, they would feel...
Overwhelmed.
Intimidated by the cover stitch. Mm-hmm. And I'd start off with serging because that's most of the time what people want to do first. And they didn't know, now that you've got this, you've got the cover stitch.
So when
part,
we taught our combo machines, we taught it as two machines, sort of. We would teach it as, here's your serger, this is how it works, and we would ignore the cover or chain stitch part.
That's right.
And then we would move to the cover chain stitch part and then teach that and then go, hey, you can combine these.
That's right. That's right. And they are color-coded as well.
Oh, like yes. That.
The baby locks are color-coded between serger and cover stitch, which I think is really smart.
And all of your thread, your telescoping lifts on it and all of your, they're all coded, you know, what is it, C1, C, so well, cover not, stitch, needle one, cover stitch.
They're not all coded.
That's right. The evolution, I guess, isn't coded as well.
But a lot of them are. So when you are threading for the cover stitch looper is normally has a tension disc that looks different than the serger tension disc.
Yes.
Especially on the baby lock. And you kind of have to, like, go through a metal guide and down behind the guide and then up and over this knob.
Yep.
And the diagrams on the threading guide, I think, are difficult to understand until you see someone do it.
Or I explain it to you.
Or ZD explains it to you. So you go in, you have your, what do you have up? Your presser foot, right?
Your presser foot up.
And your needle's up.
And your needle's up. And if you're doing cover stitch only, you have locked down your upper looper.
That's right.
And you have also locked down your blade.
Yep. If you're going to put that table on there.
If it's a combo machine. Uh-huh.
So.
Now, if you have just a cover stitch machine, you're not going to have a blade.
Right. Right.
Or an upper looper. You'll have one looper.
You'll have that cover and chain looper. Yeah. So you go in from right to left, like you're looking at the machine, and you send that thread through a little keyhole from right to left. And you've done that, and now you need to, like, let go of the thread and get it from the other side, okay, of the little metal keyhole. And then you go back and forward over that knob. If you're looking at the picture and listening to what I said, I think it should make sense now. Okay, you need to follow the path just like you did, before with your upper and lower loopers. Those of you who don't have baby locks, this cover and chain looper is over to the left of your needles. And sometimes on some of those machines, it's
what?
Like hidden. Yeah, it's over there.
Oh, from underneath, but not on top. You're you're going to confuse them.
The looper is to the left. It's over there.
Yes. But where you thread it is on the right.
Yes.
Okay, so. But
sometimes there's this, what I was saying, sometimes there's a little, like, threading mechanism on those that can help send the thread underneath the machine casing. Like, that cover looper is sometimes hidden. The lower looper can sometimes be hidden on the sergers, too.
Right.
Yes. So sometimes you
but
have
where you,
extra
but what I'm
step.
Talking about where you put your thread.
Uh-huh.
Is on the extreme, can be on the extreme right, and it goes underneath the machine.
Right.
Which is
you're
what
right
ours
or you're
does.
Left.
Is what ours, when you're facing the machine on the ovation,
uh-huh.
Where is your thread for your cover looper?
You mean the threading port?
Where's your thread for the cover looper? Where
it's
is
on the right, yes.
Yes. Okay.
I'm talking about the looper. I said your looper is all the way to the left.
I know, but I didn't want them to think that
the thread
was
I
over
see.
There with it.
I see what you're saying.
It's going down and through the machine.
It's like it's running the width of the machine.
It is. It has the longest, you need the longest tail to put
so,
it
yeah,
through.
So yeah, your looper thread might start over to the right, but then your actual physical little curved
the looper.
The looper
is on the left.
There
that's
we go.
Why the needle height
mm-hmm.
starts out lower on the left and higher on the right, opposite of your overlock stitch or your
yes.
serger stitch.
Yes, so good. I'm glad you clarified that. Because sometimes when I'm saying something, I don't know how confusing it'll be, right? So
well, there's a lot going on this machine. Uh-huh. And that's why we always used to break it down when we taught it. And once we broke it down, everybody was fine.
I do want to say, I said that the cover stitch is a little easier. There's one thing about it that's a little more finicky. You're not supposed to start cover stitching in the air immediately after you've threaded your machine.
Right.
Like for the first time.
You need to let it form the stitch.
That's why I said your needles have to be all the way up. The looper will thread with the needles down. It will thread. But then you're really not supposed to be turning the mechanisms of the machine again. Now, the needles will be up, of course, because you've set it to threading on a baby lock.
Right.
But threading those needles so that then you're ready to sew
right.
is important.
So you want to have your presser foot up, slide a piece of scrap fabric in there, and then bring your presser foot down, and then start to try to form a stitch.
Allow that stitch to form for the first time around some fabric.
Right.
then once you got like the party started and then you go to like do your cuffs and right. do your hem and da 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 da, then you can stitch off right. the fabric. Your machine will not always chain.
After the fabric is out.
In
right.
the air. It's okay right. for it not to chain on a cover stitch.
Right.
This is because, why? There's only one looper.
There's only one looper.
Okay.
So you need something between the looper and the needles to form the stitch. There's no stitch finger.
Right.
Your fabric is the stitch finger, so to speak.
So you don't have those, you know, two loopers going together, making right. making a chain together. But sometimes it will. So don't worry about that. Okay. We talk about self-tensioning baby locks. On the cover stitch part, there is a tension knob on the looper, and there's tension knobs for the needles. Right. Rarely do I need to adjust the needle tension. Have you ever?
I have never adjusted it.
I mean, I've moved it on someone else's machine when it's not at the default.
Right. I've always been on the default. I would assume if it's something really heavy, maybe it might need a change. I don't know. I've never had to do it.
And even with our stretch threads.
Right. All of the threads, they work fine.
Yeah. Stretch threads.
Using them in all, you know.
Everywhere.
Four positions.
Every which where, right?
Right.
And then the looper, though, that is someplace you're going to adjust tension.
That's right.
And there's a far extreme that says chain.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a range for cover.
For cover. Mm-hmm.
So if you have it set on cover when you're chaining, and if you have it set on chain when you're cover stitching, you're going to notice a problem.
You'll either not get a stitch, you'll get skip stitches, or you'll get something too tight or something
loopy.
Too loose. You know, it's not pretty. It needs to look pretty.
That's right. So you've threaded with your foot up. You've threaded so that you're ready to just stitch.
Right.
Once you've threaded. Okay. And you don't want to turn your hand wheel backwards.
No.
On a serger or a cover stitch machine, really. I've done it slightly.
Right.
I've never gone through a whole stitch cycle backwards.
Right.
I've done
right.
it where I'm like, oh, I didn't want to put my needles down.
Right.
You know, maybe.
Yeah.
I try. Oftentimes, I'll just go forward again. Right?
Exactly.
Yes. And then you were talking about thread path, and then I said, oh, that's not where we started. What's over on our Enlighten right now?
I'm not even going to turn around and look, but I'll
She's
bet you
not.
Any there saying there's a thread lift.
No, that's not what I was going to say. You turn around and look, I changed it.
Is it
our Maxi Lock stretch thread, and it has thread nets on
Thread nets on them. So, don't cut your thread nets in half.
There we go.
Okay. They will be longer than your spool. They are supposed to be.
It's okay for them to be longer.
They are supposed to be.
Talk about thread nets for me
okay.
a little bit. Because this is definitely part
so
of
So a thread net just does not go around the spool. It goes up and in the spool.
Mm-hmm.
So that the threads cannot fall off of the spool. So you take your thread net. You take your spool. You insert. So the thread net is just in one long like piece. You insert maybe half of it or a third of it into the hole, the bottom of the spool, and then you wrap the rest. You wrap it.
Unfurl
you open
it.
You open it
yeah.
up and wrap it up over
the bottom.
The rest of the spool. So it's sitting in a net cup.
Yeah.
Okay. If you
it's
cut
like an upside
the,
down bundt pan.
Yes. If you cut those. You're going to get yourself in more trouble because now you've got a cut edge that's around the bottom of your spool. And what's going to happen is your threads will get stuck
uh-huh.
on those little the ends
bottom.
Of the netting.
Yes.
Right. The little ends of the netting. It needs to be longer than your spool.
And oftentimes thread nets for sergers are longer than the thread net that might come with your sewing machine.
Right, because of the cones.
Because of the cones. So serger threads often on cones. You use a ton of thread right. with a serger or a cover stitch machine. And then I know we've talked about serging and cover stitching now, but we haven't talked a ton about specialty threads
right.
on a serger, which should definitely be in the How to Thread Your Machine Wrong
right.
podcast.
Right. I think we also need to talk a little bit about things for certain stitches too.
Go ahead.
But
go ahead.
Let's talk about the thread thing first. So we use Pearl cotton.
Pearl cotton a ton.
It's not on a cone, Mallory. And no. It's not on a spool. It's wound like a yarn, a ball of yarn.
Should I put this ball of yarn right on my cone holder?
I want to see you do that.
Should I take my cone holder off and try to put it on my spool holder?
Oh, I don't know.
No.
So.
You're going to use a really complicated piece of technology here.
And a martini glass is perfect.
Margarita.
Or a margarita glass. Especially the plastic ones they sell in the summertime. Or a little bowl or something where you can put that in the bowl of the martini glass or the margarita glass or the wine glass. Or we have little like custard bowls we use too sometimes. And then thread it up through the telescoping guide. And as long as it rolls off nicely, you should not have any problems.
If it's not a cone, I don't put it on my serger.
Right.
And you were talking about
thread. Well, now you can. You can put a spool on if you have the proper attachments.
Okay, you can. But what I just said was that I don't.
Right. And I usually don't either because I have enough thread lifts that I can just pop something down on a thread lift, bring it up through that, you know, its telescoping guide, and then over to the machine's telescoping guide.
You know, I don't know about other serger companies, but Baby Lock is very thorough. They give you, if you have a 4-thread serger or an 8-thread serger, they give you 4 sponge discs.
That's
right. And they give you 4 spool caps.
That's right.
Where you could put a normal spool of thread on
Right,
there.
Like a stacked spool of
a
thread.
A stacked spool.
So why you would use that is, you'd set them on those little spongy discs that turn out to be like a little platform.
Right.
And the thread will not fall down.
Right.
And the reason you put the spool cap on is in case there is a cut.
A slot.
Or a slot or any sort of fracture in the top of that spool so that it will come off smooth and not get stuck. You're working with so many threads here, you don't want anybody hanging up on anything.
No, and you know what? I just don't trust the sponge disc. I don't, like, they're not, they can't be super wide because they would get in each other's way. I just prefer to put it on a thread lift.
A thread lift just makes it so much more simple. It's just simpler. That's
I
all.
I put the stacked threads. Like, there were those sulky blendables that are like 12 weight cotton. Uh-huh. And is that the heaviest that they
yes,
make?
Yes, that's the big cotton. Yeah,
12 weight. I've put those just in a coffee cup.
I have. I've done that too.
Right?
If they roll, again, you have to make sure there's not a little fracture or imperfection somewhere in the spool where that thread can get caught.
Right. So you need to when you're working with something that's not a cone, be careful about
right.
it. And with the stretch threads, if you use MaxiLock Stretch, you really need to put a thread net on there.
Thread net on that and any sort of woolly nylon, anything like that, that the thread sort of changes tension.
Yeah, it changes character.
And the other thing, too, about those stretchy threads is they get a lot of static.
Yes.
And so they like to float, and they'll float into each other, like, as they're going up
I to
the
thread
guide.
I used to call that getting married. Oh, my God, Mom. This tip about threading your serger wrong.
Yeah.
If you're not using the thread, get it far away from your serger.
That's true, too.
So if you've eliminated,
even your sewing machine.
Well, yeah, true. If you're not using, in fact, you said thread lifts, and you had some threads on thread lifts there. I took them off, and I moved them away from the Enlighten over there. Because if those threads are just loose, they're coming
They're
off
like
so
hanging
fast.
Out there looking to catch something.
Well, it's
they're
like
just looking to catch on to
create,
something.
You know, these wind tunnels, these
That's
gravitational
right.
fields, and there's static, and they want to get married. And then I've seen people get 2 threads just going through. It's gone through the looper.
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden.
Right.
I mean, that's magic. Okay. That, in my opinion, it's not good magic. But yeah, you need to get it away from there if you're not using it. That is indefinite.
You know, and with any sewing, your area needs to be clear. And, it needs to be clear. It just does.
Absolutely.
You just don't know. We have had people come in that have had an entire cone of embroidery thread wrapped around their hand wheel.
Yeah.
Mechanism, and they were lucky if they didn't burn up their motor.
Right,
you know, sometimes they did, and then they're like, "Oh my gosh, that's where that black thread went." Like they did, you know, they even sometimes had sewn for a while with it in there and didn't realize it.
A clear area thread can get caught on walls.
Yes.
Thread can get caught other places.
And well, like it, I said, anything staticky.
This isn't quite threading, but I knew some people who had the big, and this is an embroidery machine, not a serger. They had a big embroidery machine and their handwheels on the back, and it was too close to a wall, like a little shelf. And actually, everything was fine, but it was making a funny noise. And then we looked at the handwheel, and it had a big groove worn in it.
So it was
it had been up against. It wasn't like too hard, I guess, you know, but I'm sure it was not ideal for the stitching. So take away those threads if you're not using them. Otherwise, you can, you know, they can get married. Use a thread net. Anything else?
Well, what I would like to talk about is there are a lot of sergers out there. And there's a lot of older model sergers out there. So this means there's a lot of sergers that have different attachments or a different gizmo that you have to use to get a certain stitch.
There you go.
Sergers last a really long time because they're just mechanical.
Right.
Okay. You know, and they do basically one movement. That's it. Okay. So, you know, on my baby locks, if I want to do a... 3-thread rolled hem.
Right.
I click a couple buttons.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
A couple knobs. Turn a couple knobs.
And if I follow, if I know them or follow my directional sheet, my, what do they call this?
Quick reference guide.
Quick reference guide, or my owner's manual properly, and I do it. I do a test stitch, and it is perfect. Right.
Right.
That's all I've had to do. Okay. But in doing that, I've removed a stitch finger. There's things I have done by clicking on or turning a knob.
That's right. That, like...
That changed how much was being cut off of my fabric, that dropped a stitch finger, that changed a tension or two tensions at once.
Right.
Okay. On another machine, I may have to change a throat plate.
Mm-hmm.
Because my stitch finger is attached to my throat plate.
Right.
Okay. I may have to do something with my blade.
Right.
Okay. What else might I have to do on that? Change the foot. Oftentimes you had to used to have to change the foot and the throat plate to get a rolled hem.
Or rolled edge or rolled hem. They are different, but both of them.
Right.
Yes.
They're very similar, but in the way they're formed. So know this.
Yes.
Okay. Just because you have a serger or you've got that serger in that garage sale, you might not be able to do a rolled hem if you don't have the proper attachments.
Yeah. So check for those.
So, you know, if it doesn't have an owner's manual, you need to go online and see if you can find one. And usually you can. And don't pay for it. They're usually free to be downloaded. But do know that not every machine is just a click and a turn of a knob to get a specialty stitch. There's more things involved.
The last thing I want to say, and it doesn't necessarily have to do with threading, but it's something that I see people talking about a lot. On some sergers, the stitch width and the knife position are not connected. On the baby locks, the stitch width is, like the knife is connected to the stitch width knob. You move the stitch width knob, and the knife moves,
mm-hmm.
Okay? So this is good. This is ideal. It puts the correct amount of fabric there.
Right.
Whereas...
It puts the correct amount of fabric basically in your seam allowance that's being
right.
covered.
That's right.
That's one reason it's so successful.
So if you can move your knife independently of your width, a word of caution, don't give yourself too little.
Right.
And don't give yourself too much.
And that's when a stitch... may form, but may not be forming around enough fabric. So then it comes loose later.
Yep.
Or it may not form at all because it's forming around too much fabric.
And yeah, so if you've got a bunch of extra fabric up in there, that's not good. Like, it's not ideal. I've seen people say, I'm going to just change my knife position. And I guess if your serger manual says that you can do that, okay. You know,
I've done it.
If that is just your, you know, that's fine. But I have seen people do it and there's a bunch of fabric bunched up in their seam allowance.
And here's what you all need to know as you listen to this. There's a bunch of different sergers out there doing this a different way. I have had sergers that the only way the knife moved was to be engaged are out of the way.
Uh-huh.
It wouldn't move in. It wouldn't move out. So Mallory's saying there's a serger that you can mechanically or manually move the knife in or out.
Right.
That's not a baby lock like we have that we use. So there's, you have to be able to recognize if your machine has these things. That's why when some people also, I hear people say, my serger just won't handle that fabric. That might be true.
Yep, it's possible.
It's very true. That yeah. It was just not, it's not sophisticated enough for, you know, that fabric. And maybe also we have a lot of different kinds of fabrics now than when that machine was even made.
Well, and there's just different levels, of course. Right. Would I expect like the $100 something to perform as well as the $5,000 something?
Well, that's when people say, oh, it doesn't matter. Okay, have you ever bought a knife?
Yeah.
Okay, go and buy a knife at Walmart that costs $4.
Yes.
Okay, and then go and buy a knife at a cutlery store, right? That might cost $30, $40, $100, whatever. Yeah. Guess which one works better?
Right.
Guess which one always works better? Guess which one sharpens better? Tools make a difference. It really bothers me when someone says, oh, just because it costs that much doesn't mean it's better. Not always, because sometimes you're sometimes you're buying options, right?
Yes, absolutely.
But as far as quality, an inexpensive machine will not have the same grade of metal in it, the same grade of plastic in it, or the same grade of composite type plastics in it. They will not be the quality. You don't have to believe me.
Are you saying that maybe like an 80-year-old machine, like if I were to be like, oh, 80-year-old machines are so much better than anything today. But then I disagree that like the nicest machine made today wouldn't be better than the crappiest machine made today. That this is some cognitive dissonance here.
Yes.
Okay.
And you do, and you have to think about what you're dealing with.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Well, yeah. I think we've given people enough stuff to think about with their serger. It's very similar to the sewing machine, but then
so now that you're confused.
Yes, exactly. Tell us how you threaded your serger wrong. I want to hear about it. It's happened to us too. Don't worry. We are not immune to threading things incorrectly.
That's right.
But you can get a hold of us on Instagram. We are at ZD Sewing Studio, and I'm Mallory at sewhere.com. And remember, you know, I never give out your email address.
And you shouldn't, because I don't answer them.
Remember that mom said the stuff about men designing things not as efficiently.
Just trash me on the Facebook site.
There you go.
Well, I can handle it.
We can handle it. All right. Thank you for listening.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.